Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Damian.
And this is Douglas.
And we are here again. Yes. For some unknown reason. I don't know.
Somehow they haven't shut us down. We bang, bang.
Yes, we are, you know.
Leave it to Jamaican police to leave terrorists on the air.
It's almost been a year, though.
Yes,
it's kind of cool.
Kind of sad.
That too.
It's not as much as a year yet.
Well,
we
started on the 2nd of this year.
It's just that that's what it is.
Yes, I put them in a chokehold every week. I say, come on Wednesday. And they come and they cry and they just talk.
Yeah. I mean, I live in the same house, so I have to come. I don't understand why Damon's here every week. Makes no sense to me.
No, you're right.
We even sat here, we're like, should we wait for Damon? And eventually he showed up. He doesn't even have a phone anymore, so I can't call him. I'm sure he just won't tell me his number.
The end of 2009 and I'm still phoneless. It's been, what, 6 weeks since my phone's been stolen?
I don't think it was that much.
No, it's probably 6 weeks. I don't want a phone.
Don't want people calling you anymore.
No, phones just suck. They just don't know what they're supposed to do. The closest thing we have is iPhone. The Droid is like $800 if I want one of it.
Hmm.
And I don't
the new iPhone is supposed to be great.
That's coming out. Future one.
Oh no, I'm not talking about the future 3G. One. The future is like, I'd wait for the future one actually, because I hear that they're testing it out now. So
I want
give
the 3G.
Like a couple months.
Why would you buy it? It's Christmas.
Yeah, no, seriously.
They're going to announce a new iPhone in like 4 months.
Yeah.
No,
plus,
no.
Apparently,
see, this
Verizon is getting the iPhone 2, which means it's getting broken. The
oh, cool.
Is breaking, so that means cheaper prices.
Cool. What I mean is, I want the 3GS until they tell me what the new one is, and then I want that one.
What's buying a phone? No, I buy the Droid, which is clearly faster. Or wait for this next generation phone called Else. That's some.
Else. I've seen that.
Right,
that's
some Saudi person.
Yeah.
Funding. It looks awesome. The one where you slide, you use one finger to go through all the menus. It looks awesome. It's supposedly fast. But this is not the Engadget Mobile podcast.
That's true. We are supposed to be talking about movies.
I think we should keep on topic here and we'll move along with what we watched this week. I watched Armored this week.
Why?
I told myself not to watch it and then when I saw it come out, I was like, you know what? Let me go and watch it. It might just surprise me. And guess what? It didn't. To be perfectly honest with everyone, if you've seen the trailer, you can walk into this movie an hour in and you haven't missed anything.
Yeah. They kind of gave away a lot with that trailer. Leaving nothing to the imagination. And in a movie like that, they could have made a better trailer. We didn't need all that exposition in that trailer. It's the same problem I have with all the Avatar footage I'm seeing. There's just so much exposition in all of those trailers that you just know. You just know the only thing that can possibly surprise you is going to be like 2.5 hours in when you're at the end of the movie and Cameron dreams of some lunacy. Because I'm pretty sure I know exactly what's going to happen in that movie. Seriously,
Armored. It's an average movie is the thing, but the trailer just kills it for you.
I hear that the dude, the main character guy, he was
Christopher Columbus Short,
right.
The guy who plays that. He's okay, but you see, the one thing that I didn't like about it was they were playing up the fact that he was in Afghanistan and he was a soldier and stuff,
oh,
and he had this whole like, I don't want to be a part of anything because I did something during the war, and you're expecting this one scene where he finally breaks down and tells you the story of what he did, but they never give it to you. So for this average movie, I was just sitting there hoping that they would give me this one scene where we would have a really good acting scene going down and I could appreciate it as being an extra bit for the movie, but I didn't get it. So, also this week I watched Good Hair after you mentioned it.
Yes.
It's a really good film. I really liked it. Probably not the best documentary of the year, but it was really good, really informative for someone who doesn't know anything about black women's hair.
Just straight men. about as much information as I can take about here.
And I'd like to say this with no thoughts of prejudice or anything, but I think I'm never dating a black woman ever again. Because I don't want to have to pay $5,000 for it.
Yeah, but then, you know, look at Tiger Woods, he married a white woman, look what happened there. Right, it's all green. This really expensive. $5,000 for hair? US dollars?
And I think it was just comical watching that competition that they were talking about.
Oh my goodness!
Like, where do these people think of that? That is what you should be doing for a hairstyling competition. Can you have a hairstyling?
The chick that cut their hair on the water. Dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. But I you should watch it though.
No, it's a good documentary, no.
Yeah, I'll watch it, but...
Chris Rock is legitimately funny.
Is he?
And,
really?
It's because he's not doing much of any acting.
He's really just letting letting people dig their own grave.
Goes to India and tries to sell black hair, which was amusing.
Wow.
Should I? No, I'll leave that one. Yeah, that's all I watch this week.
Douglas.
Oh, we're going to go to Douglas?
Yeah, keep up mine while we go to
Essentially, he's saying the only reason he's going to me is because he's
not really. Time.
I understand. Okay. Look at what did I watch this week? Let's see. Nothing, really.
Yeah, I even left one for you.
I know you did. I'm trying to remember it.
Astro Boy.
So thank you very much. Astro Boy. That's why I don't remember it. It was completely unrememberable.
Shit, how could I have forgotten this? I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you, but there's something I did want to mention. I did watch Cars on Blu-ray this week. Right. And I'm not even going to talk about the movie. Everybody knows the movie is pretty, the average movie that Pixar let out.
I make no pretensions there. Everyone says that Cars is their weakest movie. And I say no. They made a movie called WALL-E, which is boring as shit. I like Cars.
I don't like you anymore.
I'm like a car person, so I guess.
Did Cars give to your car need?
Kind of sort of.
Really? Alright, well, I rewatched this movie, and the movie I felt was bad, but whatever. I want to talk about the actual Blu-ray itself. They made what can be the shittiest menus I have ever seen on a DVD to date, and I have seen some shitty menus. Right? When the movie starts up, one thing I hate about Disney DVDs is you watch like 20 ads before you go into the movie. Of course. You can't play Blu-rays, apparently.
Alright.
Yeah,
right.
Because Blu-ray's a pain though. Have you heard about how you have to play it?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But no, they can't do it yet.
M-Play has already in the beta or the alpha that's coming out. It's able to
and there's
do
a beta
kind
of DLC that does it
too. Yeah. So.
Anyways.
Right.
After you've gone through all of these ads, you come to this menu, which is an animated menu, where like you see the car drive up to this thing, and then you see these three things. You see in the middle, play movie, which is nice to have right there. And then to the left, go to this place, random name that makes no sense, or go to this place, random name means nothing. And you look on the back of your DVD, and you're like, special features. You're like, where do I find them? And the funny part is you can go to either and you'll find a play movie scene selection features section. However, in each section, there are two different sets of special features. And they're totally cockeyed designed. It's just insanely horrible. I almost wanted to throw the DVD out. If it wasn't for the fact that I basically got it free due to the deal that I bought this movie on, I think I would just hurt someone. So, if you're out there and you have the option to get Cars for free, don't.
Oh. Wow.
The Blu-ray, I mean. I don't know how the DVD is.
But the movie is stunning in HD. I'm pretty sure because it looked
I still didn't enjoy that much. If it wasn't for the Italian guys, I don't think I would even laugh during that movie.
Michael Schumacher was in it too.
Yeah, that was a nice little talk. You know, you're defending a movie with Larry the Cable Guy in it.
Yeah.
No, but I have to tell you though, I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say I've really liked the movie, but it's a decent movie. It's fun to watch, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that?
Children anyway. Also like it.
No, I'm sure when Christmas comes around, I'll be able to put it on for all the children in the house and they'll sit down and watch it.
We put on real movies for children.
Your Fight Club.
The Godfather.
What are the three Fight Club times?
I was thinking more along the lines of, say, a Stardust or...
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Aliens.
Wow.
I'm pretty tall.
Wow.
Get your bottles.
Okay, that's enough of it. I'm going to talk now.
Yeah.
I watched Astro Boy, which was pretty forgettable.
As we've noticed.
A fairly average children's movie.
Oh, I didn't get that from the trailer.
To tell you the truth, it was better than I thought it would be, because I thought it was going to be awful, which actually was the same response I had to Armored. I thought Armored was going to be one of the worst movies I've seen this year, and it wasn't. It was fairly average, making
it
100 gajillion times better than what I thought it was going to be.
Wow.
Yeah. Also, I've watched nothing else because I've had other things to do. Yeah. I got this book right.
Right.
I have been doing nothing but reading this book.
Scared about this book. Who wrote this book? Please don't let it be Twilight. Are we going to have
It's not Twilight. Though I could see somebody making fun of me as if it were Twilight-esque.
Wow.
I tried to. This is a series. He's about to mention. It's a series of books. I tried to read the first one and I put it down after 20 pages because that was the description of the first scene.
Oh.
It doesn't come. He says that book like any book. He doesn't know how to read really. that's kind of his defense system, his defense mechanism. If he gets a book and he looks at it and he doesn't know how to read it because of what it's recommending, he puts it down and he says it's boring. So
they hurt my eyes.
Exactly. No, it's just a really,
I'll go watch Watchmen again.
The time series, yay. Two more books coming out next year that I'm going to have to read.
Audiobooks are the way forward. I tried reading myself.
Did you ever read that book? The economic thing
I love econ for some strange reason. I've read
the economic hitman thing.
I've read econ textbooks in my spare time.
That's weird.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I almost did econ in college, and that's weird.
Right. No, yeah. To each his own. This dude likes to type shit on the computer and pretend he's coding. I like econ.
Ah, nice one. Anything else you want to mention, Douglas?
Not really. I watched Dexter last night, and it was amazing.
No, the finale is Sunday.
It's two episodes. Oh,
the finale is Sunday.
Now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man.
As I said, unicorns and flowers. That's the only way that can end this thing.
This is going to be fantastic.
Finally. And get back to watching the series. Christmas.
Have you watched Bored to Death yet? Because that's done.
That's really good. Well, I wouldn't say really good, but it's good.
I would need to watch that. I need to watch Community.
Community is decent.
There's so many all these new series. I still haven't seen one episode of How I Met Your Mother or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I haven't seen any of those.
I caught up on that recently. That's nice.
I need to. I'm still in like the fourth season of Sunny.
But I won't see you.
Anyways, moving on into Damien.
Right. So this week I finally got Afro Samurai.
That's a Sam Jackson movie?
Right. It's a mini-series that was on Spike.
The anime.
And
American
I finally
anime.
Pried it away from my bridging. And I sat down and I watched it. And it's anime. And the RZA does all the music. And Sam Jackson does a majority of the voice work. And it is completely over the top and ridiculous. And they made a follow-up movie afterwards called Afro Samurai Resurrection, and even by anime standards this movie is completely pointless. they took what the 5 episodes did in the series and they reverse engineered it for the movie, so it's just an hour and a half of exactly what was in the series. I'm sure the excuse is, well, if you like the series you like the movie, But we already saw everything that you put in the movie, in the series. So it's like, it's just, it's clearly double dipping. That is exactly what the movie is. They're basically cheating. And it's really kind of sad to see. Even with a property as simple and as straightforward as Afro Samurai, it's kind of sad to see them do that, as it really wasn't necessary. So into actual movies. I saw The Bad Lieutenant, Port Call of whatever, New Orleans or whatever. From Werner Herzog, I think that's how you pronounce his name. That's
Werner, I think it is.
Right. He's only done two other movies that I've seen. He did Rescue Dawn with my boy Andrew.
I love that movie. I love Rescue Dawn.
But I have more shows.
You know that he did a documentary about
right.
that before?
Oh, before? No. I saw a documentary that he did in 2007, Encounters at the End of the World, where he went to Antarctica. And it's basically just him holding the camera at shit that most people never get to see in real life. And it's kind of nice to watch shows. A good use of an hour and a half, because I'm never going to Antarctica. Why the hell would I go there? There's no, it's ice, it's cold. What? Sun doesn't go down, it's ridiculous. But The Bad Lieutenant, I should preface this by saying I watched this movie right after I watched my favorite movie of this year, which I'll talk about later.
Oh wait, this is not a movie that we know about.
Oh, I know which movie this is.
You know what movie
it
is.
I know what movie this is.
So I was already in a good mood when I saw this movie, and I really enjoyed this movie. This movie stars Nicolas Cage, Val Kilmer, and Eva Mendes.
And there's Exhibit.
Right. And Exhibit, I was going to try and not call his name. But, the last time Nicolas Cage and Eva Mendes came together.
Yo, yeah.
We have a little movie called Ghost Rider.
Whip.
Which is, by and large, one of the worst comic book adaptations anyone has ever come with.
Just but wanted. Alright, moving on. Move it on.
Alright. So, The Bad Lieutenant is about, of course, a bad lieutenant. And.
Really?
Yes, funnily enough. Oh, you didn't see that coming.
No,
did
I did
right?
not. I did not.
And
I thought it was about a good. That's a bad joke.
Right. So, Nicolas Cage is this essentially cokehead policeman. He is what I assume all Jamaican policemen are. And he moves in basically the same ways. He has ties to all of these criminals and basically exploits his power as a policeman. His girlfriend is a prostitute. Again, how I envision all Jamaican policemen. And every time he does a good deed, something turns out, you know, it goes badly for him. And the movie is just about how he deals with all the messed up situations he's in, because he owes gambling debts. He's essentially a pimp for his girlfriend, and he tried to exploit one of her, what do you call the guys who go to the prostitutes?
Renita Adams. That's been Nick Cage.
Exactly. It's basically Renita. So he tries to exploit one of these Johns, and the John has ties in high places. So now he owes other people a lot of money. On top of that, he's been, you know, not going by the book in terms of closing some of his cases, so internal affairs is down on him. So he's just in a bad way. And on top of all of this, he's a cokehead. And it's really kind of funny how he gets himself out of this situation. And by the end of the movie, where in most Hollywood movies he'd have learned something at the end, nothing is learned. He's still a bad lieutenant taken to the next step. Eva Mendes was surprisingly good in this. Yeah, she was playing a prostitute.
Eva Mendes?
Yes, surprisingly good.
The same Eva Mendes that was in Ghost Rider?
Yes,
the
sir.
The same Eva Mendes that was in Hitch?
Yes.
The same Eva Mendes that was in Spirit?
Yes.
Do I need to continue?
Ignore him. Move on.
No, I'm just a surprise. And again, I don't know if it's because I was already in a good mood.
Verna. Verna. Pimp slapped everyone. Yes.
No, but there's a lot of overacting, and there's a lot of things that you expected from these actors, but because of the roles that they were placed in, it just made sense. And Val Kilmer was in it, and he was probably the only person I didn't like. I even liked Exhibit's character, because I expect better from Val Kilmer. I don't know, maybe it's just the character that he played that I hated, and if that's the case, then he did a phenomenal job.
Well, Val Kilmer is a fantastic actor. It's just like, yeah, he's in a lot of
horrible movies. Like, the last good movie that I saw him in was Felon. I like that
Kiss
movie.
Kiss?
Felon?
Was it before Kiss? Was that after Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
No, it was after Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. I think it was like 2008 was Felon.
I think I read about that one, but I never actually watched
that
it.
That was pretty good. I enjoyed that movie a lot.
What was that?
He and Stephen Dorff were in that movie.
Stephen Dorff.
And Stephen Dorff went to prison for killing some dude who was breaking into his house. And Val Kilmer was like the top dude in the prison. And he was phenomenal in that role. He played some crazy kind of Jesus freak type person, and it was pretty well done. I also saw Extract by Mike Judge.
You liked it, didn't like, you? I hear it.
I really like
it. I hear it in your voice.
And you need to understand. I hated Idiocracy because the premise, the half an hour into that movie,
yeah,
I was in love with that movie.
It was kind of lame-ish. It was
and
okay,
then
but
they had an hour after that, which was completely terrible. And the movie that everyone always,
don't
falls
tell me
over. No, everyone loves Office Space.
Oh, okay.
There's nobody more
right.
that doesn't love that movie.
Yeah,
could you stop scrolling, man. Sir, and go back? Thank you. Alright. I hate Jason Bateman. I do not like him in most movies that I see him.
He was good in that movie you said you watched last week, State of Play.
Right. But I was happy to see him get beaten in that movie. I'm not a Jason Bateman fan. I didn't like Arrested Development, and I think most of it was because of Jason Bateman. Because I'm a fan of David. In fact, I'm a fan of most of the other people that were in Arrested Development.
Listen, everybody in Arrested Development is good. Especially Jason
But
Bateman.
I'm not a Jason Bateman fan.
How about Michael
but
Cera?
But that seems to be... I used to like him before. But that seems to be turning... I really do like this movie. Extract is about Jason Bateman's character... he plays Joel, and all of this was in the trailer. He owns an extract plant, and a guy named Step, who is one of his workers, loses a ball in a horrific accident.
That's Clifton Collins.
Yes, and he's phenomenal in this movie. Absolutely phenomenal.
It was in the trailer.
I
don't remember that at all.
Not watching TV. And Mila Kunis, who I'm not the biggest fan of.
I like her.
She plays this walking con woman, and she sees an opportunity and strikes. Tries to get Step to sue the company for all their money and whatnot. And that's what the trailer said was going to happen, but the movie's more about Jason Bateman's love life and what's really happening between him and his wife. And there is a guy. Could you?
Yes, I just want to check something.
Anger ensues.
Who Jason Bateman hires to bang his wife, essentially. And his name is Brad. And he might be the greatest actor I've ever seen in my life. There's no way. I don't believe he's not actually that person. He has to be. He has to be that person in real life. It cannot be acting. He does so good a job. I think his name's Dustin Milligan. He's been in some other terrible TV shows. I think this is his first actual movie. But he is by far there. It cannot be acting. That's how good it was. That I don't believe that he was doing any acting in this movie. He was.
It felt great. Natural.
Oh my goodness! This movie is just a really good movie. It reminds me of a lot of Role Models. You know, it's just that type of movie where you just sit down and you watch it and you enjoy it. It's nothing that. And this movie might get a cult following, but I'm hoping it doesn't.
It's Mike Judge.
Blow it.
It's Mike Judge.
That's blow it out of because it's really good, but I don't think, like, it's not Super Troopers good. Right? Guys, just calm down. I've seen a lot of places on the internet, there's a lot of praise, but you guys need to take it down a notch. But that movie's really good. I suggest both of you watch this movie.
I plan on catching up with a lot of these movies really soon.
I also saw Will Ferrell's You're Welcome America, A Final Night with George W. Bush. And Will Ferrell impersonates George Bush for an hour and a half and makes light of all of the crazy shit that he did for the past 8 years. And where it gets really, really funny is where you realize that some of the things he's saying were actually said by George Bush. I don't know if I get to that point. They put up on the screen behind him actual quote. So he's talking a lot of crazy shit. And then when you see it come up, I just go, was George Bush really that stupid? Is it actually possible? And we're just glad we made it out of those 8 years. We barely made it out. So the economy is terrible.
Really? Because I saw that when it came on TV and I watched like the first 15 minutes and turned it off.
No, it's if you're into politics, you love it, I guess.
I'm into George Bush jokes, but...
No, you have to be into politics to get a lot of the additional jokes.
Maybe.
But it's really good. It's a TV, it's a made for...
I mean, for HBO.
Yeah, it's HBO, yeah.
Alright. I also saw Law Abiding Citizen. You guys went to see that, right?
Yeah,
we did.
And this is also a movie I had zero expectation for, but turned out enjoying.
Exactly. Cell phone. Are you ever going to use a cell phone the same way again?
Yes, because that is nonsense. The movie is ridiculous. And
that
you can't
favorite scene,
right? You can't really get into why the movie is ridiculous without getting into spoilers.
This movie is completely ridiculous. You take out the battery and the war is won.
Exactly. I'm done. So it's Jamie Foxx and Gerard Butler and smattering up other lesser known people. And the movie is just ridiculous because it's a revenge story, but he gets his revenge in like the opening 5 minutes. Right? All the people who have done him harm.
No, he just decides to stretch that phrase, the definition of people who've done him harm.
And then he goes off on some batshit crazy journey, killing all sorts of people. And it's a revenge flick. And they knew what they were doing, it was paint by numbers, and they did it to the T, and they made a well-made revenge.
Fun movie. It's
and
a fun.
And overacting was there by Jamie Foxx because he cannot help himself at this point. But it worked well for this movie. And the ending of this movie makes no sense no matter how much you look at it. Right? The things that transpired, zero. Like, there's plot holes abound, but still fun. And from someone who likes the sympathy for Lady Vengeance and Mr. Vengeance, it's nowhere near that good, but if you like those types of movies, you'll definitely love this one.
For those people who will never watch a foreign film.
Yeah, you crazy people think that America has the monopoly on making good movies. You're so wrong. So wrong. And now we've moved on to what is undoubtedly my favorite movie of probably the last 10 years.
Yeah, I heard that this one was coming.
Right. Now, Roland Emmerich has made bad movies. He made 10,000 BC. And he also made The Patriot. And if anyone thinks The Patriot is a good movie, shoot yourself.
I like the Patriot.
You are stupid.
I have it on DVD.
However,
I zone out a bit, but I think, gathering from what little I heard, did you just imply that The Patriot is a bad movie?
Yes, I did.
Get out.
Roland Emmerich, Roland directed and helped write that movie. That movie wasn't good.
The Patriot was amazing.
I think we saw
it. Are we talking about the same movie with...
Yes,
with
Mel Gibson?
Yes. And a young and very dashing Australian.
All right, we're moving on.
Come on, that movie was fantastic.
Right. This is over. This podcast is over. It's been fun, guys. This has been the unnamed podcast. Andrew's dead. Douglas is dead. This podcast is over.
It's taken 11 months. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I guess I should be the one to usher the podcast
right
on.
While Emmerich hasn't made the best of decisions, he did make Independence Day. He also made The Day After Tomorrow and Godzilla. These are all, you know, movies where he destroys cities or the world in some fashion. And now he has made his opus. And this is the movie he was born to make. And this is my best movie of this year, hands down. Nothing will come close. 2012 is God's gift to filmmaking. And there are a few caveats that I must put out before I continue.
I didn't think that would come.
This movie is technically not a great movie. Right? There's a lot of plot holes. The science behind it isn't bulletproof. And there are some scenes that the laws of physics wouldn't, you know, wouldn't condone. However, I watch movies to escape from reality for the most part. And this is as far as I escape. Dude destroyed the world in this movie, and every single second of it I had a smile on my face. This movie is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. This is why movies exist. To give you things that you'd never see in reality. And as much as people will bemoan the directing and the writing, the casting in this movie was spot on. Our boy Chewy does a phenomenal job.
I really liked Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt I think he should become a politician at this point. He does such a good job in this movie. If you hate John Cusack, this is the time to get back on the Cusack train. I liked him in War Inc. and 1408. A lot of people hate both those movies.
I don't like 1408, but I haven't seen War Inc. I heard a lot of bad buzz for that movie.
Exactly, yeah. Both of them have a lot of bad buzz.
Amanda Peet, I've seen her in nothing. No movie. I can't recall a movie that I saw.
I know I saw her in a movie with Ashton Kutcher.
I
saw her in movies.
She's not to be in movies that are enjoyed. She's to be enjoyed in the movies that she's in. Okay.
Fair enough. Could you scroll down for a second, Andrew?
You have more?
No. There's a
he wants more stats.
Alright. As a side note, our boy Chewie is doing it. I mean, he's really crushing this movie. Like, pretty much whatever I see him in, usually turns out to be a good movie. He's in Endgame that came out this year. I enjoyed that movie. Red Belt is phenomenal.
Oh, man,
American Gangster is boring as shit, but he's very good in it. Talk to Me, I love that movie. We Don't Need to Say Children of Men, or Inside Man, or Serenity. He's just straight killing it. Like, Christian Bale has some serious competition at this point. Because Christian Bale is usually my go-to guy. Whatever I see him in is usually good. He made Salvation, which is kind of a backward step. But Chewie is really...
Have you seen Public Enemies yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, I'm just
good.
I have to see it before the end, because I'm trying to catch up on all the movies that come out this year, so I can make a
top
qualified
10.
Statement about the top 10. But 2012 is clearly the winner. Last year, I was in love with Dark Knight. Dark Knight needed to make some room because this movie is... I'm so glad this movie came out when Blu-ray has already established itself. Because this movie is what Blu-ray was meant for. This movie and like Pixar films that have a lot of CG and a lot of action, and you don't want any blurry action, you just want to see exactly what the director wanted. This movie, from start to finish, phenomenal. Woody Harrelson.
By the way, the chat room is going crazy due to you, just to let you know.
Woody Harrelson plays... he's just so good in whatever he's in. He plays this crazy dude. I love this movie so much.
I think one guy is comparing you to a Tyler Perry fan.
Ooh, he can do whatever. I love movies where people destroy shit, and this is the pinnacle of all wrecking shit movies. Fantastic. 10 out of 10. Just as good as The Dark Knight for me. I don't care. This is Rambo-esque type movie. Thank you. Thank you, Roland. Thank you. And that's all I'm saying.
And now we can move on. Let us move on.
Was Damien molested by another old lady and the boss? He's excitable.
No. Thank you for bringing that up, though, but that won't wipe the sky off. 2012 is still phenomenal.
Oh, that's beautiful. Anyways, getting into our top 5 Christmas films. So
2012.
What do you say? Came out in the quarter.
There's snow in the movie. It's best movie.
No, that's Angel Dust. Whatchamacallit?
What a segue.
Smash
Magic
is
built for radio.
It really is. Watch him.
I'm just laughing too much at the last few minutes.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right. And so Andrew's top 10 Christmas.
Top five.
Christmas.
If I do 10,
one at a time, or you just
let's going to go.
Just get it out.
All right.
You go first, Andrew.
All right. First, I want to.
Which ones I need to take off?
First, I want to preface this list by saying, it's kind of sad that we're doing this now, because if we were to do this like in another 2 weeks or so, once I've finished my Christmas movie marathon, this list might change. Alright? So, number 5 on my top 5 Christmas movie lists starts with the 1954 classic White Christmas, which I just watched the other day with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. If you love musicals, if you love Christmas films, this movie is great. And you have to have heard the classic Bing Crosby song White Christmas. It's something
I'm dreaming of.
Yeah. This is the movie it came from.
Wait, sorry, it didn't come from An American in Paris?
They used it there, I think. But I told David that joke.
Oh, okay.
Morons.
And I think certain things in this movie just stick with me. Like, as I said, White Christmas, and Danny Kaye when he does the song, Great Things Always Happening When You're Dancing. It's just a great film. I loved it. Another film that I recently watched in my Christmas movie marathon, number 4, A Christmas Story. Now, this is not necessarily the greatest Christmas film. However, it does pull on one string, which I think it does really well. It takes those people back into a time when Christmas wasn't idealized. It was all about you as 5 years old, and the only thing you really cared about was getting that one gift that you thought was going to complete your world. And it really pulled on that string really well. And the storytelling is really great. They have this narration, which is the best. Screw Morgan Freeman and... and what was that movie? Shawshank Redemption. This movie has the best voiceover narration a movie can ever have.
And you're wrong.
It's a really good film just for that reason, and it plays on a lot of comical notes, which are really great.
I'm just glad that you're picking actual good movies for Christmas. My list is going to be
oh yeah,
completely different.
Number three in my top five Christmas is A Nightmare Before Christmas. I love this movie. I love this movie. I own it on Blu-ray. It's perfect. It's the movie to watch as soon as Halloween is over and you're prepping for Christmas. It's great. Catch Me If You Can.
Really?
Number two.
Is that really a Christmas
It is a Christmas movie. I mean, it doesn't have Christmas all year round, but it kind of plays it because every year he calls him on Christmas, calls the Tom Hanks on Christmas Eve, says Merry Christmas. It's a big Christmas film.
So it doesn't have Christmas all year round.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I'm sure some of your movies won't be exact Christmas films, but whatever.
No, I haven't.
This movie is brilliant. I loved it from the first time I've seen it, and I don't know why I don't have this on DVD yet. I need it. And my number one film, which I'm sure will make Douglas and Damon angry that I stole it from them, is Love Actually. Yeah, and the funny part is, when I first saw this film, I didn't want to watch it. This was when I was at Lawrence University. 10 women, and I'm being serious, I'm not exaggerating, basically dragged me into the International House, and we're watching this movie. I was fighting them. I was saying, no, I don't want to watch this shitty romantic comedy. And I loved it to tears. If there's one thing you remember, it has to be Bill Nye talking into the camera to all the children, saying, kids, if you're out there and you're thinking about Christmas and you want to give someone a present, don't go and buy that shitty boy band record.
Yes.
Go buy mine. And remember, kids, if you want drugs, don't buy them. Become a rock star and they give it to you for free. It's hilarious. I love it. And that's
you're a midnight impersonation. You're very right.
I love this movie and everyone needs to watch it now. And that's my top five list that I have. So, Damien.
Alright, that's going to make Douglas say, use movies with sense, but since I'm coming up.
Oh, wait, you want Douglas to go?
No, it's okay. Fine. So, this is in no particular order. Andrew said Love Actually, so I'm taking that off the list. Jingle All the Way. Arnold Schwarzenegger's ode to Christmas movies everywhere. He dressed up as a robot, and
I went to the theater to see that movie.
It's phenomenal.
And don't forget, it's bad.
Yeah, the movie is bad, but as far as Christmas movie goes. It's great to watch.
Jack says he watches it every Christmas.
Absolutely. Really. I watch it every Christmas too. Schwarzenegger is the best father ever, right? Moving right along. So, there's DuckTales. Christmas story.
Do you know, like last week I went on YouTube and I watched the first episode of DuckTales. I used to love that show when I was young.
So DuckTales did a Christmas special where they retold the Christmas story where Scrooge McDuck was Scrooge. Yada, yada, yada. I do own the DVD and do watch it every year. It's completely ridiculous. I do like it. It's one of my favorites. I can't help myself. The Nutcracker. Yes. None of you never seen it? What the hell is
that? I think I know the music, but I haven't seen any movie or iteration of it.
Well, if anybody out there has seen The Nutcracker, they'll understand why it makes.
I think I saw one with Macaulay Culkin in it.
Wow. But forgot speaking of Macaulay Culkin,
God damn it, I should not have said anything. No, I must take that off of my list.
Of course, Home Alone is one of the greatest Christmas. What? Home Alone.
You are
phenomenal.
An awful person, sir. My list is very short already.
So you're now down to your top three, you know?
Dude, you have to love
it. No, I love it. I just wasn't thinking about it. So that made
me. And 2012, they're still in the movie.
Just to top it off perfectly, 2012.
No, that's it. And Christmas Tale. I told you guys about this movie before.
Actually, I want to watch it. I need a copy.
That movie's great. Because
you have it on DVD, right?
Yeah. It shows what actually happens when people come together at Christmas time.
They get cranky, drunk,
love and friendship.
Is Robert Downey Jr. in this movie? And Holly Hunter? No, okay.
No, it's a foreign film.
Oh, it's a foreign film.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But foreigners can't do Christmas movies. What's
wrong with you?
Moving on. Moving on. We're not even going to even work with that one.
Is that
this but yeah, that's fine.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're an asshole. I would like
Son,
to,
of course, Macaulay Culkin was on.
Exhibit 1. What's the first movie on that list?
Oh my lord. Ow. Ow.
That was number one.
Hush.
Anyway.
Anyways.
I have some more movies. So there.
Uh-huh. Sticking it to the man.
Exactly. So there. You see, I thought of not putting this movie on my list, but I decided that I can't just for the fact, even though it's cliche, even though everybody's going to say,
Christmas.
Oh, yeah, whatever, clearly.
It's Christmas.
This is a movie that I have to watch every year, at least, you know, twice, three times for the Christmas season. And this is
Super
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I actually was leaving
that.
It off just for you.
Oh, thank you.
So you do have friends.
Very few, but yes.
Yeah, but Jingle All the Way is better.
Moving on. Christmas Vacation is one of the best Christmas movies I've made. Let's continue.
Despite it being made by a National Lampoon.
Exactly. Let's continue. I have another one that is... it's generally accepted as a Christmas movie now. Die Hard. Good Christmas movie.
Kermit.
Okay. Yeah.
I see where you're toeing the line. Didn't think about that. That's great.
Okay. I've also got a couple more that I really, really enjoy. Though maybe I don't watch them as much as I should. One example is Trading Places. With
That one. That's
Murphy.
I didn't think of that one.
I love that movie.
Not that one.
Which apparently is as old as I am.
Ooh. 50.
So. I never thought Douglas was as sensitive about age. I can see real hate in those eyes.
Yes. The daggers can jump out of my eyes and kill you.
Some might want to have gray hair or something. It's called Rogan.
I think it's because we started making fun of him for his bald spot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've gone three so far, right?
Sure.
No, I've got another one.
Yeah.
It's not towing the line at all, but you may question my movie taste.
Right.
However, you don't count because you pull Jingle All the Way on
the Damon has no credibility
exactly.
Today.
So ain't gonna be
he said 2012 is the best movie of the year.
And I stick by that.
So,
put that on the gravestone.
So this next movie goes by the name of The Hebrew Hammer.
Is this even a Christmas movie?
Of course it is.
I haven't seen the whole thing, so I don't know.
Oh,
it involves Santa Claus,
right?
And Christmas and Kwanzaa and all sorts of good stuff.
And so next
year
we're going to bring a Tim Allen movie into this, and we can end the podcast.
I believe I'm being made fun of in the
no, not you.
Chat room. So that is four, which means I need one more. I need a fifth.
And he's now thinking
so
really
now,
hard.
I'm not really thinking very hard. I'm just, you see, the thing about this movie is, it's really towing the line.
Okay.
Really, like barely touching.
Just say
the
Fight
line.
Club and get it over with.
No.
First
when you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Do you think of gifts? Do you think of merriment? Do you think of anything else?
Alright, what's the nonsense?
No.
He's building this up.
I don't think of all of that when I think of Christmas. When I think of Christmas...
I think of dinner.
I think of snow. Therefore...
Jack Frost?
Therefore...
Snow Day?
Therefore, any movie with snow must be a Christmas movie.
Wow.
So...
So 2012 qualifies.
Wait.
Yes.
Snow. Fair enough.
So, I nominate... Nay... Groundhog Day.
No, we're vetoing that one. I'm not accepting that. I'm very sorry.
No.
No amount of logic. No Douglas. Douglas, no.
Alright, Douglas all the way.
It is actually about Christmas.
how about Gremlins? Gremlins? Why not Gremlins?
Douglas, you have to find another movie.
I have to find another movie?
Or say them actually again.
Alright, a real movie that was on my list is Scrooged.
How is that not mentioned?
I said that's the DuckTales version.
I love Scrooged.
I know Scrooged is amazing. I actually think it's a really good film, like, in terms of the quality of it. It was made in, like, the early 70s. Sorry, that's not true. In, like, the late 70s, early 80s, and it looks like it's from 1990-something. I couldn't believe it when I looked it up. It's really old.
It's a very good movie.
1988.
Whatever. 80s, whatever. But it looks like it's, you know, from 99 or whatnot. But okay. Wait,
So we're going with Scrooge. Well done.
Yes.
Okay.
That's very nice. Moving on into news. I'm just going to get this one out of the way because this is what Damon wants to talk about and it'll make him happy. He'll scream into the microphone. We'll all lose all sorts of sense. Apparently Steven Spielberg...
Yes.
Has decided he's not going to be doing Harvey anymore.
I love.
First comes Old Boy, then Harvey.
But you
Lord
see,
looks down and says no.
What Damon doesn't realize is no, as opposed to Steven Spielberg, a man who would at least.
He's going to read
Rambo.
They're
just going to bring on a director that's going to completely mess it up.
No.
And your dreams of a
son,
good imaginary
son
rather
wrong.
Movie will...
No, I already have a good imaginary movie.
I know, but you will have another one that is
no,
not good.
If Spielberg couldn't get it greenlit, no one is getting it greenlit. Unless Michael Bay says, you know, I think I can do Harvey. And no studio exec is going to go. He's not going to blow up anything. This movie
did you see
anymore.
The Victoria's Secret ad they put on the internet?
Yes.
Michael Bay directed a Victoria's Secret ad, and it started out pretty much like every other Victoria's Secret ad. Women in underwear with their hair being blown in the wind, and eventually it went insane. Like, they just stand up there in front of one huge explosion at one point. It's insane. But anyways...
And now to my second favorite story.
What's that?
Buffy's never going to happen.
No, that's not true.
Alison Hannigan says...
That she won't be in it. You don't think...
That's what every... That's what everyone from the original Buffy has been saying. I don't want to see it.
Right.
It wouldn't be made. I don't care. But
right.
They're going
and
to make it anyways.
I have one question for you, Damian.
Yes.
How many people from the movie were in the TV show?
I'm sorry, what? They were made a TV show?
Moving on. Josh Brolin says he's going to be MIB3.
Yes, I saw that.
What car is going to be in MIB?
Don't give a shit.
No one cares until they announce another E-Class.
But can you see another MIB movie?
Of course. They destroyed all credibility with the second one. At this one, they can't go anywhere they want with that series. It's going to make millions of dollars. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones coming back. Josh Brolin.
Well, are they coming back? I remember reading in an article that they weren't too sure. Will Smith looks like he's coming back.
Well, everybody isn't too sure. It's all. I'm sure it's going to come in one whole week that everything swoops in. Will Smith signed, Tommy Lee signed, some Nimrod Atal signed her director or something.
No, they'd probably go with the director. Barry Sonnenfeld was the one that directed it, right?
I have no idea.
I think they can get Nolan. Not Christopher.
Oh, the writer. I just whatever. Another news story that came out this week: Steve McQueen, who directed Hunger, is apparently going to be doing a Fela Kuti biopic next. And
that people will say, "Oh, it's too long and nothing really happened." And bitch and moon, despite the movie being phenomenal.
But it was too long and nothing really.
You realize I have a sharp metal object in my hand, right? Pimp slap.
I've got a bottle.
Ready?
I got a bottle.
Oh, you ready? We're doing this. Let's go.
Anyway, traveling. Let's talk about this moving. And for me, as long as you know there is some
I spill beer on
music
me.
In there,
Fela Kuti. We
will enjoy this film because Fela Kuti was fantastic, and I don't need to know what happened to him in his life. I just need to hear his music.
I love
so you're saying you just want the soundtrack?
Right. Yes, the soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
I love Hunger and whatever Steve McQueen does that much.
Has he done anything else other than Hunger?
No.
I'm just curious because I don't really know.
Starting off with a bang.
But I have to be honest. As much as Hunger did kind of bore me, I do see the technical brilliance in it.
You guys hated that movie review last week, and that movie was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to remember what we did last week.
Wow. I'm shocked I remember last.
Oh yeah, I like this music.
Paul Thomas Anderson, the director of films such as Boogie Nights, There Will Be Blood, Punch Drunk Love, is re-teaming with Philip Seymour Hoffman with a religious film. There are not many details about it. It says it's going to be set in the 1950s.
Oh, so Doug Part 2, that's dirty.
Yeah.
But Philip Seymour is going to be the lead actor.
Yeah, he's going to play the lead, and it's not really going to be Doug. He's always...
I was talking more along the lines of his previous roles with...
I think the only movie that he's clearly the lead in was Capote.
That too.
That's about it.
He's not
what about Boogie Nights?
Man. I
couldn't believe that he was in Boogie Nights. So
listen, he came short, very short, of being the guy that says, "I suck your dick."
I was looking for Doubt, and I searched Hoffman instead, and I saw Boogie Nights come up. I mean, what?
Have you seen that movie?
Of course, I saw that movie.
It was really good.
A long time ago, when that movie was porn. I didn't know the difference. I thought that was what porn was. I wasn't until later in my life. Wow.
That's what porn is.
Wow, that's not porn. Have you seen the cast list for Boogie Nights?
Boy, yes.
They used to get over with murder and tennis. Oh, the amount of people you could have hired for little and no money. No one knows.
This movie is really not going to center the Doubt way, but center on like creation of this new religious sect in the 50s.
So it's Mormonism.
Something, I don't know.
I don't see why you guys are arguing semantics over what is going to be in the movie.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, and it's directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Do you need anything else?
A trailer.
No, you don't. A trailer would just confirm what I already know, which is that I need to watch this movie.
I believe.
And I think this is awesome because we just finished the news.
Wow.
I couldn't find any other interesting stories. You guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. I'm sure there was other stuff in the way, but I can't remember.
No, only the James Cameron thing, which I refused to mention.
Iron Man.
Okay.
It has a new poster.
It does.
War Machine is
and the trailer is going to come in front of Sherlock Holmes.
The worst kept secret of all time. War Machine would be in Iron
Man. Oh, shit. And did you hear that a couple of dicks got a new name that's somehow ironic? That's what Kevin Smith says.
They changed the name.
Yeah,
isn't it to A Couple of Cops?
No, it's not. That's just, I guess, the working title.
Oh.
But it's going to be announced within the next couple of days, apparently. And he says that they're going to be able to make fun of the name.
They said I think they said the trailer is coming out with Avatar, so we'll get it next week or so. Moving on into trailers, starting out with one that hit today, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
What you just did is impossible.
I've been searching all over the world for you. You are going to be a force for good and a very important sorcerer. But for now, you're my apprentice.
I'm a what?
Nick Cage.
Listen.
No, hold on, no. Before you guys go on this movie, I have to say that I actually like this trailer.
Shut up.
This movie looks...
this trailer... was pretty horrible.
Nicolas Cage.
You just saw a Bad Lieutenant.
Yes.
The trailer for that was terrible.
No,
well.
I like that trailer.
But you're wrong.
But the movie turned out good, so maybe I'm right.
Again. I saw 2012 before I saw that.
So what, you're going to rewatch it next week?
At this point, any movie would have probably been phenomenal.
Paul Blart?
No. Fair. No, look, he still looks like Nick. It's Nick Cage. I cannot have high hopes when Nick Cage is being Nick Cage in the movie. I have to see the movie and be proved wrong.
Yeah, he really
cannot take
it
as face value. Because he can't tell whether or not he's going to turn in a decent performance or he's going to be Nick Cage. There's just no way for you to know based on that. That trailer doesn't look good.
It does not look good. However, I have one thing to say about that trailer that is not bad.
What's the name of the dude?
Jay Baruchel.
There's a lot of movies that I see him in. He was in a movie recently, Real Time, that I enjoyed a whole lot.
His big thing was Knocked Up.
Right, he was also in Knocked Up.
He was in Nick and Nora.
Right, he was a star in Real Time.
Okay.
It was really good. I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, is that the one? I can't remember.
No clue what that is.
But anyway, yes, there was one scene in this trailer that was very quick. You could easily have missed it. And maybe I actually saw what I didn't see. But I thought it was really funny, and it makes sense because this is a Disney movie. But there was a scene where Jay Baruchel was clearly being unsupervised by Nick Cage,
the mops. The mops.
And you saw all the mops. And
this is that movie.
Which is like, and that was clearly a nudge towards Fantasia, and I thought that was kind
of. But this is what that movie is. Cool. That section of Fantasia was a short film about the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and this is the feature of it.
But Jerry Bruckheimer.
I actually like this trailer. It looks like a fun. Yes, Nick Cage does look a bit like Nick Cage, but I'm willing to give it because it looks like a fun action adventure movie.
For the best. But Nick Cage.
Come on! At the end, when he asks,
dude,
"Are you crazy?"
Dude,
just a little bit.
Dude, the Wicker Man.
Ghost Rider.
No,
Ghost
I'm not giving it at the Wicker Man. I don't even need to go.
It's directed by the same guy who did National Treasures,
next.
Which I really like those movies.
Alright, next. Ghost Rider. No, really.
National Treasure. National Treasures are so boring. Screw you, Jack.
Thank you.
Screw
Thank
you,
Jack.
Jack.
Finally, someone.
What does Jack say?
It's National
Treasure movies are terrible.
Yes.
I
have someone on my side. Moving along.
That's the answer.
Moving along, another trailer I want to talk about was Brooklyn's Finest.
It's your first day, kid. Today, a woman gets hit. Day after that, it's a murder. You got 20 years of days. This job takes enough out of you. Don't take it home.
From the director of Training Day. Wasn't he in jail or something?
Yeah, he still is. And they,
when was this movie filmed?
Who cares?
He gets. I don't
Trailer,
know how he does
awesome.
It, but he actually gets time off from jail to go in the movie.
Oh, it's like a pellet. Who was it? There was this Brazilian footballer. I can't remember which one it was. Who apparently got sentenced to like 7 years in prison for domestic abuse, but because he was a footballer and it was Brazil, they let him out every Sunday.
Somebody else got
to go and play football.
Recently, a big director, and he kept going out on like during the week to work on movies and stuff. But I can't remember. And the only reason he doesn't get to go out anymore is because he tweeted about how jail was, and they sent him to proper jail.
Avery Rogers.
Yes,
Roger, but he
Avery.
Didn't. But was it that they let him out? I thought he was tweeting from jail.
No, apparently
which I thought was more insane.
Apparently they let him out to go to work, and from work he tweeted.
Oh,
yeah.
That made because someone put it to my attention that he was in jail, but he's tweeting, and I was just curious as to how the hell he was doing this.
Yeah,
but whatever. Brooklyn's Finest. I don't like this trailer. It looks really generic. Really generic. Cop film and all the multi-story
looks like,
crap.
Looks like they took Training Day and they departed and did some mishmash nonsense.
And
it
looks like they plussed Crash into that equation somehow.
Training Day.
Exactly.
And Wesley Snipes.
Well,
No. Listen. I'm not saying Wesley Snipes is a phenomenal actor or comes in a lot of great movies. I'm not saying that because he's very terrible in many, many movies. But
the chat room was brought up Rear Window again.
Well, what you do with all of them? Andrew's stupid. Yeah.
Let's get past it now.
Learn to accept
I've
him.
I've known this for years. Andrew finally starting to realize.
So, by the way, what is this story about Rear Window, Andrew?
No, we're not talking about this. Just like Fight Club.
Could it be that you like Rear Window less than you like Disturbia?
Less than I like... Is that what let's pile up the list. Less than 2012, less than National Treasure, less than Sorcerer's Apprentice, apparently. let's just pile up this list of ridiculous movies.
Yes, yes.
Moving on.
Anyway, I thought this trailer was pretty decent.
I enjoyed it.
I mean, I can see what you're saying, right, that it looks like it could be that type of movie. And if it is, I probably will like it. Simple as that. But the trailer was... I mean, it was... exciting. I loved it. And plus, not to mention the fact that I'm now, you know... officially an Ethan Hawke fan. And he is in this movie.
Actually, I thought his parts of the trailer were one of the stupidest looking parts.
Jesus Christ.
No. So it's an apprentice. Thumbs up. If fire metal. Brooklyn's finest trailer.
By the way, I've been told to tell you that Hitchcock knows where you sleep.
He probably does.
So I got one of his movies this week. I got The North by Northwest on Blu-ray. Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
The transfer is phenomenal.
So them said.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Can't wait till January.
What's
happening
in January?
Can I finally buy shit?
So anything else about Brooklyn?
No, just that it's despite having people like Don Cheadle listen, every bad actor has at least one version. Okay.
Hotel Rwanda.
I actually don't like that movie. Oceans is different. Okay, Oceans, it was good because
why
he was
you,
bad.
Because Soderbergh directed it.
Why do you hate? Stop drinking all that hatery and give the man a chance.
The only reason people like this man is because he put on a fairly fake African accent and saved many people from dying in a movie.
Did you watch Talk to Me?
Yes, I did.
And you didn't like him?
No, I did not.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I like Chewie in that movie. Come on. I think you need to tell me what this chat room is talking about.
Jack Bean Jack has asked, it's quite surprising that Andrew doesn't like Eagle Eye more than North by Northwest.
At this point, I have to agree with you.
That's true. I mean, Shia LaBeouf, man, is in that movie, so technically
that movie
it should
is
be.
Anyways, moving on into the next trailer I want to talk about is something that's a bad trailer, but I really want to talk about it, Death at a Funeral.
Brian, who's this?
You know, I asked myself the same thing when my dad passed. I said, who is this man?
No, who's in this coffin? Because that's not my father. You got Jackie Chan in there! It's not Burger King. You can't just mess up my order. I cannot wait for this day to be over. Mom won't stop crying.
This is so hard.
Hey, Mama.
Oh, my baby!
Ryan hasn't helped out.
So you come to a lot of funerals?
Come on, man. She's like in the 12th grade.
Well, she may be in 12th grade, but that ass is in grad school.
I need you to pick up Uncle Russell.
We're gonna be late, fatty.
Oh, damn it, Uncle Russell. I love you, but you're gonna be in the box next.
My heart's racing.
Here, try this.
You sure?
What's wrong with Oscar?
I gave him one of your Valiums.
So here's the thing. What you thought was Valium is actually like a hallucinogenic.
Hello.
Yay.
No, Douglas recently watched the original, which was like a couple years ago. Damien seen it. I love this movie. All right. I don't want to use the love is strong. It's But what I think is quite hilarious is that they've taken the script, renamed all the characters to black names,
and
even kept Peter Dinklage.
That's amazing, by the way. I love it.
What is phenomenal about this is they've taken what is arguably a bad movie.
What?
And replaced it with worse actors.
And
drenched it. Right? Drenched it with stereotypes. I went, go!
And it looks like a better trailer.
It's not a better trailer, but guess what? It's going to make a gajillion more dollars from the first movie made.
Trust me.
All because of the star power.
Wow. My movie's bad.
I
like Death at a Funeral.
It was not good. I enjoyed Mr. I've Got a Big Dong. He was in that movie, and that was very good.
I've got a huge knob.
When I rewatched it, I was just sat there and went, why on earth am I sitting here? That's for like a 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was a
little bit long. Seriously.
I wonder why it is they couldn't get, I don't know his name, the black midget who was in Me, Myself, and Irene and all those other ones, instead of Dinklage. Why did they decide to keep Dinklage?
That's what makes it hilarious.
Right.
I think jokes. It's the funniest thing in the world that they use the same actor for the same role in Irene.
Yeah, that's
like when they showed the picture that they eventually will show in the movie of him and the father. Like, I think what they did was they took the original shot in the movie, just photoshopped the image, and put a black face. It was like, yeah, that's
right on.
Moving on. Last trailer I want to talk about, What's Up, Lovely?
Sometimes I find myself smiling uncontrollably because I have the story figured out. I see a stranger and follow them, and I somehow know where they come from and all of their regrets. I see the whole picture, and I am the writer, which means no one dies in vain. But most of the time, I do not have it figured out.
Can we not talk about this real? Please.
Go ahead, Damien.
Can I use my veto power just once?
No. Go ahead, Damien.
It's freaking terrible. What? Seriously, when I saw you put it on the list,
he put it there.
Yeah, I did put it there, but at the same time, I have to say, in my defense, I had not actually watched the trailer at the time.
Okay.
I just saw that somebody said it looked good, and so I put it on there and said, let's see.
So let's all veto it by saying it's not good and move on.
It's not good, but what I would like to say is that this is a movie by a man that we have
got
a screener of a previous movie that he did already. And I don't think we like that movie either, did we?
The previous movie he did was New York Lately, and the director is Gary King.
Yeah, that's the one where all these guys were falling in love, right?
Yeah.
And
was you guys, I asked you guys to let me
know. No,
You're like, you don't need to.
Alright, I did say in my review and in defense of New York Lately, it was a bad film, but it was more for the writing than the directing.
Yeah.
And my only hope, I do think this trailer is a little off, but my only hope is that now that he's had the experience with New York Lately, he does improve his writing and the directing stays just as good for me. I did enjoy the way that he shot the film, and even the trailer looks
trailer
like it was shot really
looks
well.
Really good in terms of shooting.
And that's what I hope.
Yeah.
Gary, if you're listening, I'm all for an
Even though we say we hate this trailer, please send us a screener.
So, wow, this is quick. Moving into our feature review this week, I've Loved You So Long.
Tu crois qu'elle va rester combien de temps?
Je sais pas, moi. Tant qu'il faudra. Pourquoi on t'a pas connu avant, Tata?
Parce que j'étais en voyage. Un voyage qui a duré très longtemps.
C'est peut-être ta sœur, mais...
Mais quoi?
Mais enfin, tu la connais à peine.
Okay, well, let's talk about the film for a little bit. This movie is about a family coming back together after... well, I shouldn't even really say a family. It's these two sisters that are coming back together after one of them has been in prison for 15 years for murdering somebody. And it's really them... It's about them reconnecting and about the sister who went to jail trying to kind of come to grips with the fact that she's no longer in jail. And to, you know, somehow figure out her life, like, you know, how is she going to now
move on from being in jail and, you know, having all of the things that go along with that, and then coming out and, you know, possibly having relationships with folks of the other sex and that kind of thing. And in that regard, I really like the movie. I think that it does that very well. It is one of those movies where, you know, people are going to say, boy, this is really slow. And, you know, I can see that argument. It is a bit on the slow side.
Yeah, I don't see that.
You don't see that? All right, fine. But for me, it was not. So, you know, but I can see somebody saying it. But I really liked it. I thought that the relationship between the sisters was... It was really played well. You have... I remember saying to Andrew, because I watched it with Andrew a couple of nights ago, in that first scene, I said, it reminded me very much of Little Miss Sunshine, in the sense that she was the sister who was not in jail, was so, not quite awkward, but it's almost like she didn't know exactly what to do with the sister that came with her.
Qua?
And there was even a point where she asked her, she was like, can I leave you alone? You know? almost to say as if she's not sure, you know, will something bad happen? You know, she's still trying to figure out the whole situation. And I love how that relationship progresses from that awkward silence and not knowing what to say to each other and not being able to really relate to each other to actually forming, you know, sisterly bond. And they do actually form that by the end of the film. And a lot of things come out by the end of the film. Which Andrew got up on me for, because I kind of figured it out before again. Andrew.
Yeah.
Andrew didn't see it.
No, Andrew didn't. Wow. Well, no,
I saw most. You see, you guys don't get over the fact that I try to block out the predictions.
No, he does not see.
Like if I were to actually pay attention fully and try, I could do it. I just try to block them because if I just sit there predicting, all it's going to do is lessen my enjoyment of
that's
the film.
That's not what you're doing. We don't sit there and go, I notice how it makes. No, you've seen enough movies that you see.
Yes, and I know that.
Building up and there's only one.
And I know that. And you always have, like, once you see the first segment, the setup, you can kind of go, like, because that's there. That's what this movie is about, and that's good. I just try not to think about it, because all it's going to do is make me feel like, yeah, I should just stop the movie.
No, but that sometimes that helps me enjoy the movie.
Especially when you get it wrong. I love when I get it wrong.
Right. If I have a good sense of what the movie is going to be from early on, then I can prepare myself for what is supposed to come. And if they do something out of the norm and they do it well, I always prefer when that happens. I'm glad. But when they're supposed to do something that all the other movies have done, and they either don't do it or execute it poorly, right? Then I'd like to be able to see that from early on and say, well, you know, that should have been done a little better. I've seen it done better here, and hopefully they don't use this. This isn't a turning point in the movie where it all goes to hell and what. So it does help me. I find that it helps me.
I enjoy my movie watching process. Leave me alone.
It's probably why you like disturbing me.
So anyway, what did you think about the movie?
Right. So the movie, I've Loved You So Long, is directed by Philippe Claudel. Some French.
French.
Right.
French.
Okay. So this movie is a great, great movie. And I still don't really believe that this is the guy's first movie. Not really. I feel that he's been making movies a while and IMDb like just picked up on it. He's the first one to make it across. And they're like, yeah, this is the first. Because this movie, there's too many things done well in this movie for this to be his first time at movies. Because unless the subtitles are lying, the dialogue is really well written. The pacing is really good. And the overall story is really well told. As Douglas said, it's about a sister who has come out of prison, and her reacclimation with the world outside of prison. And there, what I enjoyed most about this movie, because Douglas already told you what happened for the most part without giving spoilers, is other people's reaction to the sister when she comes back, especially the father, because when
the sister's husband,
right,
Luke.
The sister's husband, when she came, he had a lot of issues with the sister staying with him, because no one really knew why the sister went to prison in the first place.
I wouldn't say that, no. They all knew. Nobody other than those two people, her sister and the guy that you're talking about, her husband knew. So he knew at the
time. Let me rephrase. He knew why she went to prison, right? But no one really knew why it was that she did what she did.
That's what she said.
And so the husband was standoffish, understandably so, and wouldn't allow her to like stay alone with the children and stuff like that. I really enjoyed that dynamic and how it changed over time. And the only thing, because the movie was really well executed on many, many levels, there's only one thing that they did that I absolutely knew they were going to do, but it took so long for them to get to that point that I was hoping that they wouldn't do it. The final scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where she essentially comes out and explains why it is she did what she did to get to prison. I was hoping, because the movie in the beginning tells you that she is coming out of prison. But what they keep in the dark is why it is that she did what she did to get to prison. And I was hoping that they were never going to get to that. And so they're painting this woman as a good woman, but in the back of your mind you know that she went to prison, so there must have been something, right, that she did to lead to her going into prison. So they keep painting her in this nice light, and oh, there's more to her than she just, but in the back of your mind you're going, yeah, but she still went to prison. And I was hoping that it wouldn't take the movie route. You would have just, for the entire movie, that would still have been lingering. You'd have just gone, yeah, she's making strides towards redemption, but, you know, she still went to prison for this act. So as much as you want to like her, there have been no real reason for you to like her. Right? But of course, it is a movie and they had to have it. I knew they were going to do it. I was just hoping that they didn't. But they do provide redemption for her at the end of the movie.
Yeah, they kind of do.
And I was just hoping that it wouldn't happen. That for once they wouldn't do it, but they did. But it didn't really detract from the movie.
Question. When you say they provide redemption for her, because I actually think that she doesn't really redeem herself as much as she knows exactly what she did. She knows exactly why she did it. But do you mean provide redemption in the eyes
of...
Okay, sorry.
Because we didn't know. We, as the people watching the movie, we had no idea why she did what she did. We only knew... What we knew were the facts as face value. We had to take everything that they told us, how it was presented. So we had no real idea. But because they were painting her in this nice, like they were painting her in a good light, you kind of knew that, all right, yes, she went to prison, but you know, something doesn't feel quite right, and there must have been more to the story. I was just hoping that they'd just ignore that. There'd never be any more to this. You'd never find out that part. It would just be how people see her now. Earlier in the movie, she went for an interview.
When you get nibble of what happened.
Yeah, she went for an interview and the lady's like, so, why did you do it? And she just went off. She's like, you think after 15 years of me being in prison, I'm going to own up to you now, you. And just slaughter this woman. I'm like, yeah. This. So when she did things like that, I went, yes, please just stay on this path. Don't give me. But the movie was so well done that it didn't really matter. And I really like this movie. And I saw it last year. I saw the trailer. It came out last year. I don't know if we talked about it on this show.
Doubt
yes,
it.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah. And just like Christmas Day, I had to home down the movie because I really wanted to see it. And so it was great. I can't believe it didn't come. Anytime. This movie's great.
Yeah, it is. Can I tell you, by the way, there's one specific aspect. Well, it's not really an aspect, but like a really specific detail about this movie that I really liked. Just to kind of show her having to acclimatize herself outside of jail. She was willing to, in 5 seconds, have sex with this
guy. Right, do that bar. Right.
But this other guy comes along and, you know, he offers her, like, a
emotional,
real relationship.
Right,
and she couldn't,
like,
handle it.
No.
And it took her, like, ages to somehow get to that point. So, and I thought that was great. I really enjoyed that.
So, Andrew,
now that we've left you with a lot to say about this film, Andrew, what do you have to say? What did you like and dislike?
Andrew doesn't like this film. This is my last podcast.
I hated this movie. No, I'm joking. All right. I like this movie, but I don't think I like this as much as you guys.
How's your brain?
Yeah, there's a fault. I actually hit my head a couple of days ago. So it's still hurting.
A couple of days ago. Yeah, no, I don't think it was a couple days ago.
Time doesn't work as well.
When did he tell us about Disturbia again?
Ow. Anyways, moving along. I get all those points that you guys hit. Right,
but for some strange reason, despite agreeing with everything we said, you have somehow found some way to work to reverse engineer a good movie into a mediocre movie. Please explain.
I'm not saying it's a mediocre movie. It is a good movie, just not as good as you guys are proclaiming.
Okay, based on what? How did you come to this conclusion?
I feel like you guys are basically rounding out at around 8.5 to a 9 between each other. I'm more of the 7.5 for this movie.
That's not explaining how you got to the point.
No, but I'm just trying to explain how I can come to that conclusion that you guys think it's amazing, and I'm just like, yeah, it was a good movie.
Because it kind of is.
One of my faults with the movie, as much as it gave you all of these things, like, from the setup of the film, you know that you're going to be treated to little nibbles of what this of what her life was before she committed this crime and went to prison, and it just you just have to wait it out to find out when a scene is going to come when she's finally going to have to divulge some information, which is interesting and awesome and amazing. They did. It was like
they did right at the end. That's the only time you got songs. There was no flashback scenes. And there was no her that speaking directly about how her life was before she went to prison.
So before the last scene, we didn't find out what her job was. Before the last scene,
no,
we didn't find out what sent her to prison. Before the last scene, we didn't find out.
But it was through organic conversation. It wasn't like she sat down and like someone came to her and went, and both of them just sat there and spouting all this backstory into
you. Just because it's organic conversation doesn't make it any less just nibbles of information finally to the big scene at the end which fills in the gap.
Alright, so what was wrong with it?
I'm coming to what was wrong with it. Like, that's what the movie's gonna be. But the one thing that I found was because of this, you kind of have this sense of as much as you might enjoy a few character moments, you're just waiting for this information. Like, that's how I felt watching the movie. It was well acted, well directed, but it just felt off pace when I was watching it.
I'm just waiting for him.
I would have preferred, as Douglas likes, montages.
What?
I'm joking, you idiot. I'm rolling back to next week with Dead Ringers. In Kristen Scott, what's her name? Kristen Scott Thomas was amazing in this film.
Tell No One.
Which was a movie I loved.
She was in Tell No One?
Yeah.
Who was she in Tell No One?
The chick.
Wife?
Yeah, I think it was a wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what I'm actually impressed by Kristen Scott Thomas about?
She's French.
Yes.
And she sounded very French there.
I know. All right, one thing that we haven't mentioned, but I really want to get into one little aspect of the film, one particular scene which bugged me.
Yes, you know what? And I didn't like the fact that they didn't follow it up. But anyway.
That's what I was going
exactly
to say.
What
was
about
the mother when they went to visit her mother. And I'm not sure what to take away from it fully because the sister has been talking about how the mother's been going crazy and she can't remember anyone. She walks in and she's like, who are you, the cleaning lady? And all sorts of madness. But as soon as his sister left and Kristen Scott Thomas was left alone with her, her mother first of all broke into perfect English, remembered exactly who she was, and came up to her. First of all, she kind of just forgot everything after she came back from school, apparently, which was a bit crazy, but she came to her and knew exactly who she was, happy to see her after all of the madness we've heard about what she did to her sister after she went to prison. But they never followed up on it, telling us exactly why this is what happened.
I noticed that, but she said something along the lines of, they locked me up here, please get me out.
Yeah.
Right.
But she is seeing her daughter before she did, before she went to prison. Before she got married, actually. She's seeing her as a schoolgirl.
You see, that's the thing. I would agree with you 100% if
she,
when the daughter came back,
mm-hmm.
she didn't push her away and all of a sudden act like she was crazy again.
Yeah, that too.
But she is crazy. That is what I got. She, nothing that she did was inconsistent. She is clearly going crazy. She's clearly gone crazy. Been crazy for a long time.
But you can't choose to be crazy 1 minute and not crazy the next.
Have you ever met someone who's seen her? This
yes.
is pretty much how it works.
Yes.
This is pretty much on and off switch. How we see reality is definitely not how they see reality. My great-grandfather, he remembered me and didn't remember my grandfather. Couldn't tell who my
I'm just doing the math.
His son went and the man had no idea. But he remembered me. As a baby, he knew my name, because the man was going crazy. That's how crazy people work. The brain is not a straight road,
I just thought it was one of those moments where it just felt really odd.
I'm glad they didn't bog it down with that, with her trying to get back in touch with the mother. And I'm glad there was no flashback scenes. I'm glad that there was no, we're stopping the movie here. Here is what happened, and show us how wonderful her life was and how egregious the act that
No. I mean, you could easily have figgled in what I wanted with, as soon as that scene was over, walk out and have a doctor say 2 seconds of dialogue to her.
No.
She's crazy. Move on.
But your mother was crazy.
No, but if the doctor confirms what we... No, the sister only knows what the sister sees. And as we saw with that scene, the sister didn't see Kristen Scott Thomas being loved and...
Yes. But the
remembered and all sorts of madness.
Been taking care of the mother for all this time has watched her mother reduce her to a cleaning lady. Of course she knows that the mother is crazy. There is no doubt in her mind that her mother is crazy. And she said that, and we saw it when she came in the room. The mother told her that she's a cleaning lady and ran her up. Of course she's crazy. That wasn't a sticking point for me at all. I thought that all the information that I needed to know, I got from out of that 1 minute scene. That was good enough.
Anyways, I just thought it was a moment. So yeah, that's about it with this film. You guys loved it, I liked it, just not as much.
Same, because the movie was still
something like that.
You know what? What's his name? Not DJ Caruso, DJ something should have directed it. The Disturbia director?
Okay. Isn't it Caruso?
Is it Caruso?
It's Caruso.
Right?
It's Caruso.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably what his problem is.
Yeah. And he did some Shia LaBeouf.
It was me jumping through windows.
Shia LaBeouf needs to be in the film for it to be good.
I just don't see what... Like Douglas, I saw Douglas try to like work his way around. Like, some people might think this movie is a bit slow. Like, who are these people?
Name them.
No, it makes sense. Andrew is that person.
And that's about it for tonight. Thanks for listening. This was the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
One of the better movies that we've reviewed this year, and you are like, no, this movie's kind of slow.
best movie we've reviewed this year.
Don't watch Christmas Day. Never mind that, because that movie, that it is slow. It's alright.
What would be the best movie we've watched this year?
2012.
Reviewed. We've reviewed this year.
I don't know about reviewed. I can tell you Moon is the best movie I've watched this year.
Would it be Sympathy for Lady Vengeance?
Probably. I love that movie.
We all agreed to that, and we agreed to the Billy Wilder film we reviewed the other day, The Apartment,
right.
As
yeah,
a perfect.
The Apartment doesn't come.
Because that's Damien trying to educate us.
Educate you.
So you don't care about Douglas.
Douglas, I assume, would have gotten to this movie organically.
No.
You would have never. I'm surprised you have not by Nautilus. But see, you still haven't watched it.
No, I've seen the movie before. Oh, I just haven't watched the Blu-ray.
You wait till January.
And that was the podcast.
The good, the bad, the ugly zombie.
Yeah, I saw that. I wanted to get. Do they have the trilogy, or is it just the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Just the good. I don't need a trilogy. I don't need. I'll wait. I just need one.
I remember I used to love that movie. That was. I can tell you, that was the first R-rated movie I ever saw, and I was like, yes.
Clint. Gran Torino. I don't care if that movie isn't good. It's Clint Eastwood as an old man. That's exactly how it would be. Andrew doesn't like slow. What do you like? I keep trying to wrap my. Because he likes Wally and nothing happened in half the movie. And now he's blaming. He's saying that another movie's. I
like Tarantino movies.
Like Douglas, I usually have a good sense of what Douglas will like. So, like when he says he doesn't like some movies, I go, really? That should be a Douglas movie. But you, I have no idea.
Try to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do. It's not that your skin is broken. Needs to be thrown away. Get a new one. No. Keeping us on it. That's what you. Whenever you review the movie, that's what you just start out the review.
So, guess what?
The Andrew scale.
I think that in this whole thing of keeping us on our toes, I think we should not keep Andrew on his toes because he has to go somewhere very soon in less than 10 minutes, actually.
That is. That's a nice right, that segue. I like.
It was
good. Yeah, I give that segue like a 7. It's better than
Whatchamacallit works every time. How dare you?
But I do have to say that this is probably the end of the podcast. I'm sure. Probably. I'm going to try and end it, but you know how it happens. You know, it's one person says something,
right.
And then all of a sudden
we're back into the podcast, and we're back.
You know, exactly. So I'm trying to take us out. As Andrew usually says, you can find us on gmanreviews.com, iTunes.
You never find.
Do you see this? Do you see what I said? Probably, and not this is the end.
Google Maps can't even find me.
Can I get another beer while we're at this? Because we'll be here a while, it seems.
Saddam Hussein.
Oh, jeez. Good night, folks.
I need some effects, man. I need some effects. Camera, no.
And that was the podcast.
Oh, geez. 30 million, man. 30 million. I need some effects.
Christmas is all around me. It's written in